If you would, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm going to stop right there, because that is officially, right now, I will declare that to be a mouthful of Scripture. The reason I was looking at the crucifixion this morning is because this is what I wanted to read and what I want to talk about. Our Lord's condescension is beyond our ability to understand.
Right.
It's beyond my abilities and my capability to relate to you. So here we go. Paul the Apostle here did as well as anyone could, and he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Out of this, what I'm going to try and concentrate on, even while speaking about two or three things, are three very important words in this section of Scripture. I think they're incredible, amazing, miraculous words. And the three words are this: he humbled himself. He humbled himself. To me, this is one of those things that, like Peter wrote of some of Paul's writings, it's one of those things that's hard to be understood. It's tough. It's tough. But it's here in black and white, and it's boldly and perfectly stated. He humbled himself. It goes against every natural thought of a man. I think actually every thought of man, period. You know, the child was born, the son was given. He is God manifest in the flesh. But while he was here, the reason he was here, the way he was here, the only way he could be here was if he humbled himself. He's God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2 says, we have the mind of Christ. And if you look at that word, it means understanding. Well, that's true, because he's the one that gives us understanding.
Amen.
Then opened he their understanding of the Scriptures. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened unto us the Scriptures? We know him through his word, which he's given to us. And he's given us the understanding of his word, in bits and in pieces. Here a little, there a little. Jot upon jot, tittle upon tittle. But let this mind be in you, this understanding, these thoughts. This is a bit of the mind of God, Christ Jesus. God. This isn't the thoughts of men. This isn't even the thoughts of the Apostle Paul. These are the thoughts of God that have been revealed to us here. Let this mind be in you. Who? Jesus Christ. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I like how Earl said that. It's wasn't a thing to be grasped after. The literal translation of the word robbery is or plunder. It's the goods, you know. And what do people do with plunder? Well, you grab it and you hold on to it and you never let it go. Our Lord didn't do that. He was in the form of God. Why? Because He was God. He was with God in the beginning, God. But He didn't think it was a robbery. He didn't think it was a thing to be held on to stay that way. He came down. And He came down so far we can't imagine it. Because we have no idea what glory is like. We have no idea what heaven is like. Where there is no unrighteousness, where there is no unholiness, where there is nothing but peace and love and joy and righteousness. But He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yes, He is the eternal Son, mine elect. But yes, He was the one who spoke the worlds into being. Equal with God, and what? Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Because He is God. This is who the Son is, and this is where the Son is. Before. He didn't stay that way. It didn't stay that way. This was the natural place and the natural form in the beginning, God. And in the beginning, the Son. In the beginning, the Spirit. All together as one, and that's the natural form of the Son. Equal with God. Then comes that word, verse 7, but. But. Things are about to change here. Here's where God is. Here's where Christ is. Was. Equal with God. In glory. But He thought it was not a thing to hold on to. But. Made Himself of no reputation. And took upon Him what? The form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man. What? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made Himself of no reputation. The Creator of the universe made Himself of no reputation. I don't even know how you go about doing that. Because I have no idea what it's like to be that. And this is what seems odd to us. See, man's natural progression, our state of being is low. And we want to go high. And if we think our state of being is high, we want to go higher. That's the way we think of things. We don't want to go down. You don't want to go from being the CEO of General Motors to be a guy slopping hogs.
Nope.
They call that a step down. Yeah. But that is what our Lord did. In essence, He came down from glory, what? And made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant. And that word form there is exactly the same word used where it says being in the form of God. We want to go up in money, status, authority, power, all of it. And here we have God Himself coming down, what? To our place where we are. The Old Testament calls us worms, meaning maggots. The Old Testament calls us less than the small dust of the balance. The Son came to us, and he came in the form of a servant. And look at that word. It means slave. He came in the likeness of men, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was found in fashion as a man. That's how you become of no reputation. Now, it's not a real good thing to think about yourself. The way our Lord made himself of no reputation was to become a man. Because we got no reputation.
Right.
And the reputation we do have is not good.
Amen.
Look at the book. Look at the book. The only reason Noah and the ark was built was because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole earth was filled with violence. Guess what? It's no different today. He came in the form of a servant. He came in the likeness of men. And let me be very clear. Let me be very clear. That word, like I said, that word form, what that means is he was found in external condition as a man. This is not a Christophany. This was not an appearance like Melchizedek.
No.
This was not an appearance like Joshua and what the captain of our salvation. Our Lord became man. That's what Paul is saying here. He is God. He was God. He is God. But he became a man. A man. That should boggle your mind. How did he do it? I have no idea. Walter, you said it a while back. How did the God of all glory end up in an infant, a baby, born of a woman in a manger in Bethlehem? I got no idea. But I do know this. It took the power of God to do that. And when he did that, he had to humble himself. He humbled himself. He came down to where we were because this is where we needed it. He became in fashion a man, born to a virgin. He was made of a woman, made under the law. What? To redeem them that were under the law. There was no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing that set him apart outwardly from any other man. That even bothers me even more. Just don't understand it. But that was the prophecy in Isaiah. He'd have no beauty nor comeliness that we should what? Desire him. And yet we desire him. They were praying for this one to come, and then when he came, they didn't recognize him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? He made himself of no reputation. And he took upon the form of a servant. They were looking for a king to rule and reign over them and give them everything they wanted. No, he came to fulfill a need. He didn't come to give you what you wanted. He didn't come to give anybody what they wanted other than his people. And guess what? He's the one that made you want that. He took upon himself the form of a slave. Our Lord said it himself. He came to minister unto. Not to be ministered to. People nowadays think, oh, well, you know, the bigger you are, the more servants you have. The more money you got, the more servants you have.
Right.
Our Lord came in the form of a servant. He came with a purpose and a work to actually accomplish, to do his work, to fulfill the purpose of the Father. And how did he do it? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. The God of all glory became a man. He came into this world as a baby. He was under the rule of his parents. He grew up under the law. He became a man of full age, still of no reputation, still in the form of a servant, still he humbled himself, even at a full age. No man did this to him. He humbled himself. He was sent by his father, but he humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He, what? Took upon himself the form of a servant. He made himself in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became a servant and ministered unto men. O Jacob, thou worm, the Lord of glory came down to minister to men, to minister to worms. What a glorious condescension. He humbled himself. He did it. Nobody made him do it. He did it, and he did it lovingly, and he did it willingly, and he did it voluntarily, and he did it fully in the will and the purpose of the Father. I and my Father are one. He was prophesied in the garden. He came into the world, not the way the Jews wanted him to come. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. We didn't make him come. He came. And he became obedient to the Father. He humbled himself and came to obey the will of his Father. Now, I know we say he was king while he was here. Guess what? He was. He's king now. He's always been king. He always will be king. But even while he's king, he humbled himself. And he became obedient, even as king. Because a good king does what he needs to do for his kingdom. And without him humbling himself, the kingdom that we are a part of, we wouldn't be a part of. There wouldn't have been a kingdom to be translated into, or we'd have never made it in. He became obedient. For the purpose and love of his kingdom, he humbled himself and obeyed the will of the Father. And he became obedient unto death. There's no way to get out of this. Even the death of the cross. The death of the cross. The death of shame. It was a shame to hang on a tree. It was a shame. They put him up there with two what? You say, hey, malefactors. Now, they're very, very careful in the King James Version. I looked at it. I haven't not looked at it. But they said it, the way they put it is, he hung there with two others. They put a comma. Malefactors. Because they don't want to say our Lord Jesus Christ was a malefactor. Okay? And he wasn't. But he was hung as a malefactor.
Right. Amen. Right.
As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, and he hung on a tree.
Right.
Now you can take that or not. That's what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
He humbled himself. He, what? became a curse for us. He was, what? I'll say it. Made to be sin for us. He died the death of a malefactor. I like to say malefactor. It's a good word. How could he do something like that? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, how he humbled himself. He told them, I could call legions of angels before he ever got that far. But he wouldn't, because he humbled himself. Instead, he was made sin for us. He humbled himself. He submitted to the death of the cross. Why? He told us, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he said, I am the good shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. He gave his life a ransom for many. He said in that same section, John 10, I've got the power to lay my life down. I got the power to take it back again. He humbled himself to this death of substitution, this death of sacrifice, this death of satisfaction to God the Father for the sins of his people. He humbled himself and he died on that cross. It was a real death. Now, I know people can say whatever they want, you know, comas, whatever. He didn't have any, you know. No, it was a real death. The Father and the Son had worked this out between them, but the Father and the Son were not playing pretend. Our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself unto death, and he died. The death on the cross. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Wherefore? Because he humbled himself. Because he became obedient unto death. Because he accomplished everything the Father had sent him to accomplish on this earth. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. The one who's humbled himself, his name is now, where it says highly exalted, that means it's at the highest. There's nothing above his name. There's nothing, there's no one that is above the name of, wait, Jesus. The name of a man. The name of his humility. The name where he became a slave. Became a minister. God hath highly exalted him because he deserves to be highly exalted. He is the highest. He is the highest. The one who's humbled himself is at the highest. The one who created this universe is the same one by whom this universe consists. By him all things consist. And God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. His earthly name. I mean, that's the way Paul writes this. At the name Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name Jesus, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. The name of the man, Jesus. The God-man, yes. But it's his earthly name. His earthly name is never going away. The name of Jesus shall never go. Because I remember when Earl first said it, Walter, I'd never really thought of it that way. There's a man seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. Because he had humbled himself and came down and was obedient. Even unto the death of the cross. And God is highly exalted and raised him from the dead. He ascended into the heavens and he is seated waiting, expecting his enemies to be put under his feet. His enemies are going to be made his footstool. And that's what it means. They're going to be under his feet. Now we know him as Jesus. And we are to praise his name. Now. Glorify his name. Now. He humbled himself as a slave who set his people free. He redeemed them from their sin and their shame and their trespasses and their offenses. He is our salvation. But in order to be our salvation, he humbled himself. And it says every knee is going to bow. And guess what? Everywhere. You got a knee, you're going to bow. That's the way it works. On the earth, above the earth, on the earth, or under it. It don't matter where you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
One day, every knee shall bow. I recommend doing it here right now. Because you might do it later and it might not help you. You're going to do it. Everybody's going to bow to this one who humbled himself. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Like I said, you have a knee, you're going to bow. If you have a tongue, you're going to confess. There will be no dispute about this one day. We're surrounded by dispute and argument and debate now. It's not going to be that way forever. It's not going to be that way. There will be one day no doubt, no argument, no debate, and no question. Every tongue shall fully agree, shall fully confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not was Lord, is Lord. Yes, he was Lord. Yes, he is Lord. Yes, he will always be Lord. But you're going to be proclaiming it right now. And you're going to proclaim it later. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. He is man. He is Lord. He is the God-man. But he is Lord. He is the highest. He is the child that was born. He is the son that was given. He's the one on whom the government sits on his shoulders. And he's the one who rules and reigns. And here's the part the world doesn't like. He's the one who judges. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's Lord. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He that humbled himself is Lord over all. God has given him power over all flesh. Everything in this universe consists in him, by him. He has the power and the authority. What? To the glory of God the Father. Praising the Son, praising the Father. If you praise the Son, you're praising the Father. There's no way to know the Father without knowing he that humbled himself. And there's no way you can know the Father without knowing he that humbled himself. Knowing the Son. And the Father's given all glory to the Son. He came to do the will of his Father. His creation, his condescension, his humbling of himself, and his exaltation all gives glory to the Father who sent him. Only God could save. Only man could die. He humbled himself unto death, obedient unto death. He became a man. He redeemed us himself. Thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. I love that statement. The only one who could redeem was God. But God up here couldn't do it. He humbled himself. He had to come down to redeem his people. And he did. He did. That's what the angel told Joseph. Call his name Jesus. That name that is highly exalted now. Above all. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Just the last thing, very quickly. I didn't humble him. You didn't humble him. We didn't humble him. And I don't know if I can say this. The Father didn't humble him. He humbled himself. This was a work solely of the Son. Now, it is in accordance with the will of the Father and the will of the Spirit. These three agree in one. These three are one. But this is the work of the Son. He humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But again, that wasn't the end. I have power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it back up again. He was raised from the dead, seen above 500. He ascended into glory, and he ever lives, what? To make intercession for his people. In order that his people might live in him, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. I wish I could proclaim it the way I should. I do know this. All shall bow and confess that the one who humbled himself, this Jesus, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I can state that with absolute fact. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Your Son, for this place, be with us as we take the Lord's table. Help us to understand your work, your will, and your way more clearly. Help us to walk in newness of life. We'll give you all the glory and honor and praise because it is yours, now and forever. Amen.